I'm very exhausted. You can see that I've lost a lot of weight. I've lost about 15 kg. And it is quite an experience I'm still going through. And I know that I need oxygen. Sometimes I'm so breathless. I'm not down and out. I'm not throwing the towel as yet to the enemies, you know. And in the last several months, when things happened to me, has a whole lot of emotion, a lot of pain and suffering that I've never been through before. In one sense of the word, every one of us, if you're going through something like that, you're headed. And we sing the song earlier on, you know, when we have a trial, it's a human nature to shout out the things, "Why me, Lord? Why me?" And for us to really remain still and know that God is God is very hard for us sometimes. That's a word of prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we're here today, Father, by your grace. We're here today, Father, because you have set aside for us an appointed time. And it's only once a week that we gather in the house of the Lord to honor the resurrection, to remember the resurrection of the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. For knowing that, Father, in his resurrection, he has given us the life that you have given to him. And Lord, that we should remember this, for if there is no resurrection, Lord, then we are made most miserable. But we thank you, Father, that indeed the Lord our Savior Jesus Christ, he resurrected from the grave. He has conquered death and give us eternal life. We thank you, Lord. We thank you today, Father, as you approach the road right now. You search out my heart, Father, and search out the heart of everyone here this morning and those that are on this link. Father, we know the time is short. And we know that you want a people. You want a bride, not a harlot. No one that is all mixed up with the sins of the world, whose white garments are tinted with the blemishes of human man-made traditions, blemished the very precious word of life. That the white gown, that the white robe that you have given to the bride to put on, to show righteousness, to show life. And this is what we should be very careful of, Lord. That God, you call us out from this world of darkness into thy light. Therefore, let us walk in the light of God's word faithfully, O Lord. We thank you, Father, for calling us. So as you approach the word right now, Father, bless everyone in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, something somehow strangely, several months ago, I wanted to deal with the subject, but it never came to that time that we should do it, but we have other things that contender and joy. But after I finished the contender and joy, and then the last 2 weeks ago, before the 2 weeks before I wasn't around, I taught on another subject. And for 2 days. And I'm glad that I was able to finish it. And then during those time I finished, and the last 2 weeks I was not here because I was really very, very weak. And the Lord spoke to me, praying a lot. And this message that I want to share with you today has no title, but it's all about suffering and pain. And then I was talking to a believer overseas, then I was thinking maybe I just titled it The Mystery of Suffering. Suffering comes to us in many ways. Suffering comes to people in many forms. But I'm approaching it from who we are. I'm not approaching it as a sinner in the world or an unbeliever in the world. I'm approaching it as a believer of the Word of God. Let me show you this picture down here that you have. Just want to know how many of you have seen this and read this article on our website. I said it, our website. How many of you read this article? Letter to Pastor Peter Wang. How many? You know, it is very sad that we have a ministry here. Many of you don't go to our website and read the article there. And that's why many people, when I talk to, don't even know what's going on in the end-time message. Do you know that God is doing something within this bright movement? Within the ETM movement? And I guess many of you do not know. My last message before I was not here for the last 2 weeks, the threshing floor. Remember that message? God is still doing something to pull us out. There might be a lot of people that don't agree with me. It doesn't matter whether you do agree or you don't agree. Let me say you something. God mean what He said and said what He means. Right? If the Word of God is alive and pure, how can it be mixed with man-made tradition? How can it be? The devil will always be. Is that right, brother? Jimmy, you know that. The devil is on in every way to knock us up, to mess us up. That's what the Bible talks about, unto her is, unto the bride, is given fine linen, clean wine. That testifies the righteousness of the saints. How can our robe that we are wearing right now, before we put on that fine linen, how can our robe be tinted, blemished, wrinkled up, not with the sins of the world, but with false doctrine, opinion. If man-made tradition, man-made elder, the traditional elder is acceptable, then Christ would not have rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They would have been right by giving the interpretation to Moses' law. Right? Moses' law was right. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. But why did Jesus rebuke these Pharisees and Sadducees? Because they were giving an interpretation that was not really Moses' law anymore. They have twisted it. It's just what is happening today, some anti-message people. Instead of quoting the Word of God, make sense of the Word of God, the corporate operandum. How many of us here believe an eye for an eye, a life for a life, according to the law that was first given in the book of Genesis? Even before Moses' law came around, God told Noah, if a man dies by the hand of another man, if he kills another man, that is to say, a man kills another man, that man's life will be forfeited, he will die. If an animal kills a man, that animal must also be put to the death. By who? By the hands of man. And I have believed it can't come in, Brother John. Brother Branham said. You want to bring Brother Branham into the picture against the Word of God? He has his opinion. He had his opinion. He entitled to it. You're entitled to your own opinion. But don't take your opinion and mess up the Word of God. You know, Brother Dan, Brother Abraham do not believe in capital punishment. Who are we to take the life of a man? I said, that's what the Bible said. Brother Abraham has the right to believe in non-capital punishment. What did the Bible say? Spare the rod, you spoil the child. Now it is spoiling the child. Because every time you take a king, you wipe the child, they say it's child abuse. They can't differentiate between child abuse and what is chastening a child. God is chastening me for something. For you. Is he abusing me? Huh? I'm a child of God. Is he abusing me? You have mentality of people, Christian people, who can have their Bible believers. And they think they can compromise with the Word of God. When I stand before God to look into the Word of God, I tremble. Knowing that he means that exactly what he wrote down here. That I cannot meddle with it. Do you understand? So if you do not know what's going on in the anti-message movement, there are a lot of things going on, many people do not know. This letter here, letter to Pastor Peter Wong. How many of you have read it? Then the other two. Letter to John, Pastor John Tay. Huh? And then the subtlety of that one ATM preacher practicing deceit on me. Solomon Jacob. They will lie. They will twist the word of God. They will accuse us of presumptions. These are the people that inflict suffering on others. What he did, Peter Wong, he brought a problem to his family and the church. The way that he wrote the article against, Peter Wong's own website. Huh? Saying that he sold his wife's, I don't know how many million dollars, I can't remember now, million dollars or whatever, insurance and give it to Brother Knight. I said the people doesn't know what he means by he said $1 million insurance policy. They think there's $1 million policy or whatever, and he gave the money to Brother Knight. Your premium is your premium. Say $1,000-something. Don't go and say $1 million. But he pretty sounds so good. Oh, you know, I give God but nice this, I give her a nice that. And they're accusing me of grabbing Brown Eyes. I don't even know who Brown Eyes was at that time. And God took him over here to Singapore and he connected with me and God dealt with his life. And that meant Peter Wong, the thing that I'm trying to grab him. He was so covetous, so arrogant. Wrote thing that was on there, accused Joseph Coleman, assumed Odell Frederick, that they claim that they are the thunders. They never did. And he prophesied that within this year, I think 2012, the one of thunder would die. And it was me, of Brother Knight. I'm still alive. Man has, many men like that has no fear for God. And they are causing suffering to people and they cause iniquities. The people who believe them will think that they are telling the truth. Do you understand this thing that's going on? The other one, this one. This person perhaps you do not know. I've already shown you before. This man, Charles Paisley. Now he has his own website. I will send the link to you and you can read about him. For me, my heart goes out to him. He was a young man that grew up in the church of Brother Branham. in Brother Branham's ministry too. Young man. After Brother Branham died, he was with Brother Jackson. And you know the spirit that is out there. They're very subtle. The devil is very, very subtle. The people that promote Brother Branham, as he made no mistakes. See what the devil says, see what he says. The word of God comes only to the prophet. Man, I'm so sorry, there are those apostles in the Old Testament, New Testament, whatever revelation you wrote, because they're not prophet. Peter's epistle is not, he was not a prophet, so it doesn't come to him. There must be something made up by John and by Peter. Isn't it? What do they understand about it? Many of the preachers are not called to me as far as I'm concerned. Oh, brother, you dare to say that? You think that you're the only one? No, I'm not saying I'm the only one. And you out there who hear this, don't twist my word. I have enough of you people, and you think that you know what you're saying, but you do not know. Don't put words in my mouth. Don't twist my word. That's why I said, many of you out there whom I know, you call yourself preacher of God, look me in the eye and said, and answer my question. Did God call you? Did God ordain you to be a preacher, to be a pastor, evangelist? Look me in the eye and answer that question. Don't put your head down, look somewhere else. Don't say it's between you and your God. Yeah. The Apostle Paul said, I am an apostle of God. He dared to say it. Are you really dared to say that you are a pastor called of God? And interpret the way that you want to interpret the word of God anyhow as you like. This man, Charles Paisley, grew up after that in Brother Jackson's church. What happened? Brother Jackson was preaching a lot of things. Was good, wonderful. But there come the time when he emphasized so much that he even taught on the feast of Jehovah. And something with Daniel. And then we get a covenant at the year whereby Christ would come. And he said, for me, he said, by 1 year or 2 years at the most. And what happened? The year came, 2 years later came. It didn't happen. Yeah. At that time he said, this chapter says that we were all living in anticipation of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it didn't happen. Why? Because the Bible already tells us no man know the hour and the time. When they know the time and the seasons, not the year, not the month. And we know that we are living right now in the time and the season of His coming. But we do not know when He is coming. Yeah, we can speculate that He may come 2 years' time from now. That speculation is nothing wrong for you to speculate. Because we are looking at the time and season, look at prophecy. And He may come another, well, to me, I'm looking at 2026, 2028, and last 2033. Beyond that which I don't want to look at. How far can it go? Look at the world's condition. But I cannot say, yeah, He will come at 2026. I can't say that. So I don't know. So what happened to the church there? He was an assistant pastor. Man, there was so much confusion in the church there. You read whatever he wrote down there, you couldn't believe it. Exactly because there's a spirit working. Back then when Brother Jackson told me, but again, if you are not in unity with me, you're going to have problems with your ministry and your church. I said, no, Brother Jackson. You already tried to force your unity on me. You have problem. And this is what happened. When a pastor, when a man wanted to be somebody that he is not, being pushed by people to be the chief apostle. And what happened now in Nigeria? The Amos of Oboro, whatever, how to pronounce that name? He believed that he's the lead apostles. What is going to happen now? He has caused so many problems in Nigeria. I said, brother, I told you, brother, next come here, I said, brother, I can do something. That's when I wrote the book, Really Gone. And we shook some, lots of people up. And even people are calling brother Nice now. You need to pray for brother Nice. He got a whole lot of work. A lot of people are calling, please come brother Nice. He had to get some other of the team to go to this church and go to the church because he cannot be everywhere. Truth for trying. But all this will cause a lot of pain. A lot of pain to people. A lot of suffering. I told you in the past how many accused me of disrespecting the brother Jackson. And now I need to follow him. What? Paul myself followed what Peter did. And yet, Paul had to rebuke Peter. Even though Peter was senior to him, maybe by, as I said, almost 3 years old. Truth is truth. There's a little sad, the thing that happened. When I was looking at this, my heart always cried out. It's not nice to know people that you ministered to in the past, and suddenly I caught up with all of this. But there are those, after being caught up in all this mess for 3, 4, 5 years, they wrote me a letter to my God. You're right. Just I told you about this brother in the past, Jasmine, who believed in polygamy. Left the church, he said, no, nothing wrong, nothing against your doctrine, but it was not true. He believed the polygamy was true, that my teaching on the marriage and divorce was wrong. He told it to Brother Sister Aggie, and who told it to me. Remember, I told you that what happened a few months later down the road, he called me up to talk to the preacher who he has the revelation of what? Of marriage and divorce. The polygamy is true. Huh. It was interesting to hear what he said to me on the phone. He said, come and let's go and see him. I said, okay. And he was excited. Went to the hotel room. The man sitting down there with the head on the board, on the bed, with the head on the dashboard, with his wife sitting next to him, and who was sitting on the foot of the bed with two armchairs side by side, that one was on my right. Brother, can you tell me again? The polygamy is true. And what did the man say? He cried inside a preacher. The pussy that come out from his mouth with a stigma of Brother Branham. Do you believe Brother Branham, that Brother Branham was a prophet? I said, yeah. Do you know that he said that God never changed his mind about his word? Do you believe that? I said, yes. So you see, brother, again, if God never changed his mind about his word, and he allowed David to have more than one wife, King Solomon has so many wives, Abraham one more wife extra, then, brother, again, you can have more than one wife if the law allows it. God never changed his mind about his word. And here was that man sitting next to me, you see, brother. Then you see how to read that. It's so simple. That's so simple, but it's not scriptural. Everything is simple. If you want to make it simple, we are according to your own understanding. And I was so upset with him and hit him hard on the shoulder. He said, you hold your horses and ask the minister for America straight away. I'm not a racist. But many of these white preacher, think that there are somebody that they know what they do not know. I said, God never changed my mind about this, but tell me, brother. He said, tell me, what was the food that God told Adam and Eve to eat? Huh? I said, what was it? It was fire. I said, was it not the fruit of the trees and the herbs of the field that they were to eat? I look at him for a while. Then why did God change his mind? That he allowed me to be eaten later. Why? Silent. The wife was looking at him. Silent. And I said for quite a while, but I don't embarrass him. So I said, the reason is simple. There are two wills. One, the perfect will of God. The other one, the permissive will of God. And we are, that's the reason why even polygamy that came in and not under by God, but under Lamech, the Kenite, the Kenite introduced it. And God allows it. He allows it. He permitted it. But when it comes to the New Testament, that's what you read in the New Testament, Paul do not even allow a polygamist to hold office as an elder or deacon. Very quiet. Out the door we left, after we say goodbye, down the hall we go, Brother Daniel, correct? You're right. I said, no, brother, I looked at him, I'm a liar. Paul's a liar. Brother Bram's a liar. He shocked him. Walked down a little bit to the corridor, to the elevator. I said, you know why he said that? Because men can make mistakes. Men can give a wrong interpretation. They make the word of God a lie. But the Bible says, man lie, but let God's word be true. The pure word of God will always give the answer. I said, what do you want? In all my life of ministry, I suffered to all this false doctrine, iniquity, liars, deceivers, unrepentant people. Look at this last one here, this letter. This email, I've shown it before. Do you remember this one? This man wrote me regarding my article on the ecumenical movement. He said that he rewrote it. And he was accusing me of this and that. Then I replied, I said, wow, you came in with the Holy Ghost endowed with you, change my thing and claim as it was yours, something like that. And then I sent it to him. Look at his reply. Here's a man that has a lot of hope in him. Mr. Gunn, I have to say, after reading your reply, you're correct. And I was out of line. I truly ask for your forgiveness. I have a stepdaughter who is gay. I tried to make myself feel better because about it by sticking up for them. And I'm wrong to do so. I ask them, please forgive my errors. I have no doubt you are the man of God. I am ashamed to have written you in such a way. I come to your website and again I bow in reverence in all hope that you please forgive me, Deputy TG. There is hope for this man, but there's no hope for many preachers in the end time message who commit mistake and error and think that they have not done any sin. It's just like a adulterous woman who commit what they committed and then wipe their mouth and said, I must sin. This man at least recognized just my reply. He merely recognized that he's wrong. And when you ever recognize that you are wrong, you very quickly make an apology. Don't wait until next year. Or even next day, call up immediately a brother or sister you have sinned against. How can there be true love in you? And you claim, and I claim, we all claim to have the Holy Spirit in us. Now what is the Holy Spirit teaching us? Tell me. Tell me. You know, I was just having a little session with Jimmy. And I always remember the things that the one thing excuse me for this. Never relate this to sin. I can't help it. It was so traumatic. When I came in the message in 1971, trying to get books from the first church, it's so hard to get books from them. They want person like me. There are thousands of books on the shelf along the wall. Make a appointment to get it, he didn't turn up. I mean, I went to the home, but he's not in the home. And the brother is there. And I saw the books all on the shelf. So I can't give it to you because my pastor never tell me to give it to you. I called again, make appointment the next day and said, yeah, he'll be there. But he wasn't there. A typical liar. He did this only one thing about the book. It's about the projecting the, showing the film of Brother Branham. I wanted to show publicly. And he never turned up with it. And the brother from New Zealand, he told me what happened. He rebuked him. Wow. A man who never keeps his promise, a man. He's not a man. To me, he's a nutcase. I'm serious about this. You make a promise, you keep your promise. High time you all stop praying, you all stop playing games. Seriously. And the second man, I went there to collect it. He's not there. The brother says, I can't give it to you. I said, please just give it to one or two copies. Reluctantly, he put, I think, three copies. They give it to me. And later on, what happened to others? Look, they burned it away. You know why? Termites eat it up. There were a lot of termites then. They burned it. Wow. You want to feed it to the termites? Because you want a brochure like me? And for 2 years, seeking for it, I had to write to Brother Roy Borders. Spoken word publicly back then that he started sending to me. Those 2 years, 71, 72, 73, I came in the message July. Minister of America, Canada, Europe, New Zealand, Australia came to Singapore very often to the first church. So when I listened to them, let me tell you something about the devil's smartness. I was hungering for the truth. I was already a student, a Bible student, when I was in the examination of God. I spent hours and hours on my knees and fasting and praying, studying the Word of God. Of course, in the back of my head, because it was 16 fundamental truths of the examination of God. But I was studying it. You know what I heard in those 2 years? All these minutes became. Or the word of God coming into the prophet. Say what the prophet say. Brother Graham said that. Say what I said is on the tape. And so on and so on. And someone said, I was with Brother Branham. I know what he said, this and that. And that's what I heard. Well, each time I went back home, I said, wow. Well, that makes some kind of sense. Because after all, the word comes only to the prophet, Brother Branham. So he must know what he's saying, right? Correct enough. Because he hears so often, yeah, the word of God comes only to the prophet. And Branham was a prophet, this and that, this and that. 2 years. Then one day, this particular incident that I can never, never forget. A young man came and joined us in our little home fellowship for a few times and told me one day, he said, again, I have three friends who are missionary in the ONF. You know ONF, Overseas Missionary Fellowship in Colonial Road, just opposite the Botanic Garden. You know, I told them about message and they're interested. So would you like to talk to them? I said, oh sure. Of course, right, the person is here, right? And me, a cocky young man. Yeah, I was in my 20s. I mean, I'm not in my 20s. I was in my 21st year. I was in my 20s. Yes. I think I know because I already passed my 21 years old. I think I've already the key. I know how to unlock the door. the wisdom. So when he was a young man, there were three missionaries, they were all Caucasian. We sat down, we said a prayer. And the missionary wanted to understand, so you believe that William Branham was a prophet of God? I said, yes. Are there more prophets than one? Is there no other prophet beside him? I said, of course I know where they're getting it, that they are prophets. And the minister said, yes, but God never sent two major prophets. My mouth was shut up by the Holy Spirit. So they look at me, oh, you're saying there were never two major prophets, right? Let me show you the Bible where there are two major prophets at the same time. So you don't have to. I know your scripture. I'm sorry, I have to close and go. I was wrong. I admit I was wrong. Now less than 5 minutes, I walk up. I was on the way, walking all 3 kilometers from there to where I was. Leaving back in those days in Strathmore. Suddenly walking, the young man walked with somebody, we didn't have one word. And all the time I was crying out. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I don't mean it. I'm wrong. The still small boy spoke to me and said, now you understand, don't you? Do you want to take my prophet's word and just quote it, or do you want to take my sacred scripture and prove it? I said, Lord, I know that I stick the word, because that's the only absolute, that's the only thing that I know. All the world was crying. I was crying. What have I brought to the Lord's name? What's a disgrace? I thought I knew what I do not know. I thought I know what I don't know. I thought that I know. And that's what happened now. I learned all these years now that many are just like me. And I pray that they change. And so after that, when I went home, I saw this Bible alone. On my knees, praying, fasting, asking the Lord, you just show it to me. If you call me, you show it to me. Nice. You see how painful it was? So I talked back. In that session, who won? Did I win? I lost. Did the three missionaries win? Did they? No. Nobody won. Nobody lost. It is God who won. The war has been won, but the battle can be lost. I lost the battle. But I learned how to fight the Nates. The three missionaries, I was telling Jimmy, what do you think the missionaries were going on in the mind when I left? The prophet may be thinking, oh, we got a battle of that young man. He thinks who knows what he's talking about. Maybe no. Maybe one of them said, well, at least we got him out of Catholic spirit. Yeah. Right? Got me out of the Catholic spirit. And maybe they thank God for it too. Nobody wins. It is God that wins the whole thing. But the thing is this, when I recognize what's wrong, I better shut up. And you'll say, I'm wrong. And God really deal with me. From that time on. I can never forget the incident. So now, let me say this. When we talk about suffering, Why do Christians suffer? There are a lot of points out here I have. I have verses printed out. But I'm not going to read all of it. But that we may understand that this Bible that we have, the sacred scripture is absolute. Is it not?
Amen.
This man-child pastry. When after what the problem he had faced over there and he left, he said he didn't leak the message. But he did investigation and found that Brother Abraham lied. Brother Abraham lied in many, many places. And he said there are so many discrepancies. Brother Abraham said, he said the Brother Abraham, he found the Brother Abraham was a member of, like, he was influenced by the KKK, the white supremacy. And the Brother Abraham did not get the revelation of the seven seals or seven church ages. But he got it from Charles Lockett. He personalized literally many passages, many statements or sentences of Clarence Lockett. I have the book. When I was in the Assemblies of God, I already had the book of Charles Clarence Lockett. And about the cloud, Abraham was lying because whatever happened, there's no connection. Blah, 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 blah. Discrepancy. So the only question I ask you, have you ever read what he said? He bring out, he's the only one, not the only one. He was referring also to those people like Collins, John Collins, the Burgum brothers. Jeremy is one of them. And then the first person I believe that somebody all was John Kenneth. Back then in the 80s when I had a talk with him on the phone. Pro Brother Branham became anti Branham. What happened? These people have been in message 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Suddenly it turned around against William Branham. The website called Believe the Sign was originally pro-Branham. And all of a sudden it changed to anti-Branham. Dig out all the things about Branham's life. Branham was always mixing with the homosexual. He allowed homosexual to be in the church. Why all this love for? Interestingly, the question is this. The angel told Brother Abraham, if you will be sincere, get the people to believe you. The question right now is, was Brother Abraham a sincere person? Or was he a deceiver to claim to be Elijah? Brother Abraham, in fact, never claimed to be Elijah directly. Like John the Baptist, he never claimed to be Elijah directly. He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Is that right? So who went, what do you go out for to see? A man shaking with the wind? Five Raymond? Maybe eating like a king? What do you go out for to see? So what do you go out for to see? A medicine man called William Branham. Well, that's a man who's very controversial. Discrepancies. All right. Do you know that this book here, the Bible called the Holy Bible, do you know that it is full of discrepancy? You don't? See this? Do you see this? Alleged discrepancy of the Bible. This book is very old already. It's falling apart too because I don't open it too much. Hundreds of discrepancies about the Bible. Just show you one case and see. Go to the book of Numbers. I showed you this before. But I want to take your Bible and look at it. Don't you bring a Bible? Bring a Bible out, look at it. Go to Numbers chapter 25, verse 1 to 9, and see what you learn from verse 1 to 9. Because if you don't read right, you don't understand what is said there, and you have a problem. Here was the record. Now, Numbers is a book written by Moses. He recorded the events. He recorded about how Israel committed fornication. They worshiped Baal and Baal Peor. Right? You remember that? Okay. In verse 1, Israel committed whoredom with the daughter of Moab. And then God began to deal with them. In verse 4, and the Lord said to Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay every one of his men that would join unto Baal Peor. And as you read right now to verse 9, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. Huh? Okay, go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. And now we have verse 8. Here in this chapter, Paul was relating about, well, give me an example about, you cannot fornicate with the Word of God. You cannot. You know, no spiritual fornication, physical fornication, as Barbara would say, they are the same spirit. Huh? So a man go and sleep with a prostitute, commit fornication, that's physical. But for a Christian to take the Word of God and mix with man-made doctrine, that's fornication, that's spiritual. Paul gave an example. Now he gave an example. He wrote from here. He said this in verse 8 regarding Israel. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day. How many thousand? How many thousand? 23,000. So Paul here said there are 23,000, while Moses recorded 24,000. Discrepancies. Who's right? Who's right? Paul wasn't there in the Old Testament. So now, there's been taken out by many people. You see, the Bible is full of discrepancy. Even can you imagine how many gospels that God gave us? How many? One. Is there only one? You sure? One. Not four. There is only one gospel of Jesus Christ. But there are four gospel books. And there are even those who say, you see, the four gospel books are contradicting. You all know that, don't you? Discrepancies. No wonder Jesus said, take it how you read. Or take it how you hear and what you hear. Oh, you see, Matthew said one thing, Luke said another thing. One said, take it how you hear. The other said, take what you hear. So who is right? And how you hear? What did you hear? And how did you hear? Oh, I hear. Then I tell what? How I hear? I tell what? I know about William Graham Scott and dumb into it. Right? How you hear? What you hear? What did you hear? You saw this temple in 3 days, I raised it up. Hey, are you talking about the temple? That's what I heard. Right? My friend, Peter, that time, I said, Peter, if you were there, do you think you know? He said, yeah, of course, he said, the content, I would know that Jesus was talking about temple. You're talking about within the context, but the content wasn't written at that time. If you were there in Jesus' day, if you were there, you heard him say, this was the temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. Do you think you recognize that he was talking about his body? He kept his mouth shut. Smart! I know what to be smart means. I'm not smart. I'm wise. The Bible talks about having the wisdom of God. You know how many years it takes to achieve wisdom? 40 years. The first 40 years you learn. The second 40 years you apply. And the last 40 years you can relax. You see, here we have 34,000. There we have 23,000. Was there a discrepancy? Go back to numbers. Look at what it says there. Look at numbers. Here where a lot of people tend to miss out. Verse 4. The Lord said to Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up. What do you mean by the heads of the people? And they cut off their head, put them in a spike. And... no. The head means the leader. The chief. These are the ones that influence the people. Influence 23,000 to commit fornication. 10,000 were the head. I mean 1,000, sorry, not 10,000. See, I make a slip of time discrepancy. You know, so we need to understand how we read the scriptures. That's true. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, go to it. We all know that scripture about what Isaiah wrote. We have heard our reports. We talk about Jesus Christ. And then here we have this verse, in verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The question is this. There have been, since the earlier 20th century, with the pouring of the Holy Spirit, there are a lot of preachers going out there holding healing crusades, right? You know, healing crusades. And then many of them use this verse to say that healing is in the atonement. Because it says here, with his stripes, we are healed. Verse 5 says, he was wounded for our transgression, bruised by iniquity our sins, and our chastisements of our peace are upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Is healing in your atonement? The healing is not in your atonement. It never ever was. A Pentecostal preacher said, go to another verse, let me show you in the book of 1 Peter 2:24. I'm looking at this particular phrase in 1 Peter 2:24. His own self bear our sin in his body on the tree. Who his own self bear our sins in his body on the tree. What was in the body of Christ? What is the thing that we have that was bare in his body? The body of Christ. Christ bare our what? Sin. Peter wrote that he bare our physical, you know, affliction in his body? No. Our sin, it's not when we struck with our heel, it's about our sin. It's about the healing of our soul, not the healing of our body. Many people have been misinterpreted. If healing is in your atonement, then it is said that we shouldn't be getting sick. And if we are sick, we should be healed. And if we are keep healing, and we are never dying. Is that not true? Do you see how things are that is being printed down the corridors of the church age? So now, mystery of suffering. There are many causes. Physical causes caused by somebody else. Mental causes like what we have seen. The suffering that is upon others. Yeah, people have wasted years. You know? Me, 2 years I learned something, nothing. But only I learned something. But am I glad not to be caught up in that situation? God did something just like that for me. And sent me out of that spirit. If not, I probably will be one of those brand of mine. And then maybe 10, 20 down the road, I probably be anti-brand. Or maybe I realize for 40 years I've wasted my life preaching nonsense. And cause iniquity to be upon those who hear me, those who believe me. You know, as I said this, I can't measure 71. 10 years later, I was just waiting patiently for the Lord to tell me to move. So 1981, I stopped moving. 1980, I actually moved already. But I do more in the beginning of 81. And then the COVID came in to Singapore in 2020. 40 years. While I was out there, 40 years of my apostolic ministry traveling, I never was sick. Yes, I've got truth. God has kept me all those years. But I said, I've been Yaakov a lot. Stuffy nose, come back, I'm so tired. I would cover a lot of filth to get rid of all that. And yet God always put me so strong, and I never miss a moment, never miss this book. Unless somebody is taking place to preach. A minister from overseas to come to visit us to preach. That's why I will always be here. And 50 years from 71 to 2020 was my jubilee year of coming into this life. What does it mean to me? And then, all of a sudden, the scan showed that I have a tumor inside there. Wow. Zoe was with me. The doctor showed me the scan on the monitor and pointed to it. Said, this is no good. It's cancerous. We need to take a biopsy. And I just look at it. I said, okay, this is what it is. All right. So you want a biopsy? Yeah, take a biopsy so we can treat you. I said, no. No. My mind was already here. All the years I've been trusting the Lord. Don't be like me, huh? He says, you need to have an understanding of what God is doing in your life. So all these years, now with the COVID, and I can't travel, and now this thing has happened. But all those times you were still there, right? But how come you never show up? Then when it's a surge from an egg, then you show up. Why when it's sun inside the pigeon egg, it doesn't show up? So no. I don't want any treatment. And the doctor was quiet. They say, but eat healthy, so yeah. The best I can do. And I try to do it. But the organic food, not easy. Because Sister Treasure is not able to cope up with it. She already has her own health issues. And I try to do my K chemotherapy, natural chemotherapy, vitamin C, linzu, turmeric, try to keep my timing, but it's so difficult. Because now that you are in a hospital where the nurses are there to fix the time, do this for you, cook your meal for you. And then I remember the song. Remember young Joshua was leading at that song? Then I remember. Lay the word upon the Lord shall renew the strength. And don't do what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from Him. I said, Lord, okay. Because by that time already the chemotherapy that I'm taking, the natural one, it just has effective, but then it has a side effect as well. And then by and by, you know, I have all this experience of pain. Then I have the ascites up for me, my tummy gets bigger and bigger. Wow. I don't know it was the first ascites, I didn't know that. I thought the tumor has swelled up, dying or increasing or whatever. And I went through a lot of experience, the Lord. Praying in the night because of the pain. I couldn't sleep. You don't know how the pain was, I can tell you that. When you have these things, the pain comes in different forms and you don't like it. I have all this needle pricking me like that. Next moment it's a jab. Wow. Then one day I was sitting at the table eating my lunch. I already have this little tiny jab. What I was eating after that, while waiting, suddenly there was a big one that I go, oh! I said, what's wrong? Oh my, it was so painful. There was a whole bunch of big needle, whatever, it just jabbed right into my abdomen. Oh, it's so painful, man. And I said, Lord, this is bad. I just said, Lord, I want it to go away, please. And I put my hand there and I heard the voice just say, speak the word. I always want to be sensitive to that still small voice. So I put my hand there. Pain goes away. I don't come by in Jesus' name. I let go of my hand, I couldn't eat it. It never came back. The whole day, the following day, it didn't come back. A few days later, a different pain sets in at the time. Now it's an aching pain. Somebody is putting a thumb onto it and just kind of, you know, make you really painful. You know, when you put too long a spot for too long, you feel hurt. That's how it aches. And then here, sometimes the pain just shifts from one side to the other and turn to sleep at night. Oh. And then I have a lot of gas. Then later on, when the doctor gave me this particular drug to control, it make it worse. I got constipation. I got a whole lot of gas, the pain, the colic. Oh my! And I'll be growing in my bed. I've been groaning and groaning and praying. I 25 times I talked to the Lord, and I said, Lord, that's enough. I've already 25 times. That's enough. Then I'm asking the Lord, what about the revival? I'm waiting for the revival of the bride. When is it coming? When is the thunder coming? When is the last trump coming? When are we going to have the revival? It's in the middle of the night. I couldn't sleep. The pain was there. Now praying. So when is it coming, Lord? How is it going to start? That's when the Lord told me, revival starts with you. Oh? And I've gone, me? All right, I'm going to tell this to the church. The revival starts with you. It's with you. Not just me alone. God is dealing with the individual. And I realize why God allowed this to be on me. Because it has an effect on you. I'm the lead, I'm the the head of this flock. I'm the shepherd, so it was put upon me. God allows it. And that's why I was wondering why, what did Job do to disobey? I mean, did he not love the Lord as true evil? What did he do to deserve that? Children died, property is gone. Everyone there today continued, I don't know how long he suffered. People think it was only a week. Oh no. The boy started coming out, right? The boy was just pop, all up here. He started coming out. And he couldn't sleep because lion had a bit of ashes. And Job was crying, well, why? What have I done to you? See, God knows our heart, what's our mind. No, Job didn't do anything. But God wanted to show him something. He wanted to show also the foolishness of the thought. The foolishness of the mind. The foolishness of those counselors who don't know nothing. Only assume that what we have hit up to the one. Assume too many things that isn't there. So I went through this pain. Then after that I went to remove this because the pain was so bad, was so big, that my trousers, I have trousers which is at least 1 inch bigger than for the waist, that's why I use a belt buckle. But all those trousers, I couldn't even buckle it with the hook and all the trousers. I couldn't even wear it because it was so far apart. It was my hip, my waist was so big. And now the heart fell because it was hurting. Because the skin was stretching. And it was, even until now, there was some kind of bruising. When the arms could have tapped it out, you know how much fluid they have taken out within 3 days? 14 to 16 liters. You know how 1 liter is about 1 kilo? That's what it was. Then on the fourth day, I told doctor, let me discharge on the field. So if you want to, you can take care of this here. Because I'm lying in the bed doing nothing. I came home. Deal with it. He gave me the opium. A very strong painkiller. But not as strong as morphine. And you know that the news recently, Lisa Maria Presley, the daughter of Elvis Presley, died of overdose of opiate. That's how it is. Opiate is a very powerful sedative painkiller. And there are a whole lot of side effects. I got constipation, I got so much gas. Until when I had constipation, I had passed before, it was about 30 years ago almost. It was cleared out no more. But now the scrotum came by, in 2 days I couldn't do it to remove it until I felt positive. You know what happened? The old wound that was there to heal up was pushed out. And now I have the same pulse back. And it hurts. It never stopped, it seems. Kidney stones, spondylosis. Then I have this tumor, then I have these stones in my bowel, in my gallbladder. And now I have the hemorrhoid back again. That's not stopped. And now when I couldn't sleep, because when I took that opium, initially I vomited. It caused so much pain to my throat. It really was very painful. Tell me because it's dryness. Okay, never mind. So one night I was trying to take a tablespoon of organic coconut oil, which was anti-inflammatory. So I put it in my mouth, I was quick to swallow it instead of slowly. It went right down, hit the back, went down. Oh, next moment I vomited out part of it. And my troubles, I was so painful. And the whole night, I couldn't drink water. Not even one drop. Even saliva, even swallow, it hurts real bad. The whole night, and then that which went down in there was causing me a whole lot of pain. I went on my bed and rolling and groaning and rolling and groaning. I said, Lord. And I was complaining. And I stopped. Because I told the Lord, I'm not going to complain. And I started complaining. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not going to complain. So I was thinking about Israel came out of Egypt. They were complaining all the time, right? I said, Lord, I'm not going to complain. Then I started laughing. I was laughing. I was crying. I don't know what I was doing. Then I speak in tongue and I just spoke in tongue or just pray. And I had such a wonderful time with the Lord. Just to talk to Him. He bring me back memories from my life. Almost every night I cried. Not because of pain, but because of the joy I have. I mean, I don't understand that. And I always remind her how did Jesus, for the joy, you know, he had that joy, even he had to face the cross. I mean, what? Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. He has carried the cross, the sin of the world, and he was having a joy. Yeah, before that, he was asking the Lord, if possible, Father, remove this cup. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And the disciples, they just went to sleep. They could have wept and prayed for 1 hour. He went back and woke them up. Then he went back again to pray, and then perhaps the disciples tried to pray, and then they went to sleep. Again, 3 times. Wow. And Christ was stressed out. So stressed. Having to beg because what he's facing. So much so that his heart began to break. Jesus died of a broken heart. Right? For you? For me? What love is that? Can you think about? He was willing to bear your sin and my sin. Every joy he went there, but the stress was there, yes. He was groaning, was stressed, that the blood even oozed out onto his paws, on his skin. But the heart was already breaking. It was already breaking. You know how much pain that is when the heart starts to break, starts to crack, starts to split, the tension, and your heart is pumping. Bigger, crack up. And so when he was on the cross, when he pierced his side, the pericardium, the sac, the hole of the heart, contains the blood that oozes out from the heart muscle, the capillaries, the water. So when he pierced it, blood and water came out. Yes, medical science know that he died of a broken heart. Wow. Think about it. When I think about it, Lord, I have so much joy from that. And particularly every night, I couldn't sleep. That's why I get up and I pray and I just cry and laugh. And I mean, I don't know, my wife probably sounds think that I'm crazy too. But she was always found sleeping in the other room. I don't disturb her. That's why I sleep in my office. Well, that's how this came out. And he was red. The doctor said it's blood. They want to take the blood and take the sample and find out what it was. He came by and says, cancer cells, but not malignant. You know, when you have cancer cells like my head, The cancer that I have is known as angiosarcoma, the most aggressive cancer. With a tumor, it has its own meshwork of capillaries, blood capillaries. Like a baby separate from mother to the placenta. The baby has its own. Alright? Mother's blood don't go through there. The mother's blood pass, go to the placenta, pass the nutrient over into it. Right? On the other side, the baby's blood takes the nutrients, oxygen, and feed itself. So this cancer had its own. And it's breaking up. And so the blood vessels are breaking up. And it went into it. The whole bag is red. Sometimes you can see the cells collected in one lump and got blocked in the teeth. So I deal with that. So the doctor took it out now. So we will have to check and see how fast it will go back. At first, they draw it out. If I drink 1.5 liter of water, soup and everything together, I found that 1/3 of it, about 500 mils, is passed out as urine. The 100 mils goes into the bag of ascites. 1 liter, sorry. So 2/3. But now I realize that 50% goes out as urine, about, and 50% goes into the ascites. So it's a good sign for me. So the doctor said, take it out, because you cannot leave it there too long. More than 3 weeks should be enough. Don't want to go 4 weeks, it might get infection. He said, Sister B was very worried that I might get infection. If you get infection inside, that's not good. Septicemia, sepsis, I get sepsis, that's a real big problem. So it was taken out, there was everything is okay. So the doctor said, okay, monitor. And you're saying, hopefully the day is right, 3 months before you get big again. But if I drink 2 liters of water a day, 1 liter comes out of urine, then 1 liter will go into the ascites. Perhaps, and all the breath of your vapor of the lungs. But I pray the Lord will just slow it down and just look into the Lord. You know, and everything is in the hand of the Lord. My suffering is one thing. It's a journey I take that God wants me to take. And I'm taking it. Even as Jimmy came, one big appointment to come to see me last Tuesday, when I had pain in my throat here, and I couldn't speak because it's so painful. I couldn't even drink one drop of water that Monday night. So when I wake up, it was so painful in my throat, I couldn't drink. And I start to pray. And I put my hand on my throat and said, Lord, this pain goes away. And then in the morning I woke up. Yeah, I could feel the pain, but I drink the water. I was able to drink. And then I drank some more. I was able to drink. I took the soybean juice, saw milk. I was able to drink. It's okay. I was about to text him, you know, I could not have cancer appointment. But you see, the devil wants to prevent us from talking, counseling. And I thank the Lord for it. We are living right now at this time. If the revival is going to stop with every one of us, don't look at the other brothers, oh, it's going to stop with you. But revival starts with you. So just me. I'm not worried about the other brother or sister. I have to worry about myself. As am I really desire revival? Do I want it? God is dealing with us individually. And we are living in this time and we are seeing the signs of the coming of Christ. What Jesus said, when you see the fig leaf put on leaves, you know the summer is nigh. Right? So what we are looking at it now, even today, we are in what we call the Chinese Spring Festival. Springtime! Now the trees are beginning to come out, the greens are coming out. And we see buds are opening up, flowers are opening up. And then the birds and the bees were chipping away, going from flower to flowers. The bumblebees flying, buzzing around. The butterflies fluttering from one flower to another, carrying along with it pollens to another flower. Spring is here. Soon, summer will be noticeable. Just like a baby, a mother carrying a baby in the womb for how many months? 9 months, right? How many days that? 200 and? Come on, it's a number divided by 7. How many? Chicken, how many days? 21 days. And the bigger goosling is 28 days. So how many days is that for baby to be in the mother's womb? 9 months. How many days are that? 270. Right. 270. And when the 270 is up, the baby will come forth. And what would the baby do? First word that the baby would be doing is this. Wow! Wow! The friend we have in Jesus. Where's the song? Come on, I'll tell you for that. Wake up! I already told you in the last song. Lord, the baby opened up, coming to the world. Wow, the friend we have in Jesus. Oh, now sing and pray. Give us life,
Amen.
Eternal life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for for taking our sins upon you with joy. With joy. You did not go to the cross reluctantly. You know it was the Father's will, and you went all the way facing death with joy. Because of the example of Lord Jesus, we can follow it. We can come to that place to know all things work together for good to them that love you. And you have your purpose in each and every one of our lives. Bless what has been shared this morning. Bless all the heart that receive it. I ask the Lord to continue to speak to everyone. Father, I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.